Okay, thank you, Larry. Good evening, everyone. Am I coming through? Give me some ones. Anybody hearing me? Testing. Okay. All right, good evening, everyone. We're going to get started on our Bible study for the night. We're going to be continuing in the words of creation. We're going to look at four words maybe tonight. I don't know how time will go. We're going to not go over a half hour. I mean, we're not going to go over an hour. But the four words we're going to be looking at in this order is going to be sun. At least I think maybe in this order. Sun, lightning, thunder, and stars. So we'll start off, I guess, I think with sun, and we'll probably, like I said, probably do it in that order, but we'll see how it goes as we can look at these words. I'm sure most people are familiar with the picture of the sun, representing the light of the gospel, representing Christ, the light of the world. But nevertheless, we're going to take a look at that word and look at some verses and then go from there. Okay, so let's see where we'll start. We'll start in Psalm chapter 19, verse 3. Psalm chapter 19, verse 3. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuits unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. So here clearly is a picture of he's setting a tabernacle for the sun. And the focus, I think, here in these verses is a picture of the body of Christ bringing forth the light of the world, the sun, which represents the light of the world, Christ himself, and identifies this as being as a bridegroom coming out of the chamber and rejoiceth. So it is the Lord being reflected by the body of Christ, I think we see clearly in Psalms chapter 19. And here the word sun is in view as the light of the gospel. In Psalm chapter 84, we read in verse 10, "For a day in thy court is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For Jehovah God is a sun and shield, and Jehovah will give grace and glory. No good tidings will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." So here again, the Lord, Jehovah, God, is a sun and a shield. And of course, this picture sun identifies with God being the light of the world. And we read also that Christ is our shield and our buckler. We see the picture of the shield also in I think it's Ephesians 6, where God speaks of us putting on the armor of God and identifies with the shield, I believe the shield of faith. Is what is in view there in Ephesians chapter 6. In Psalms 89 verse 35, "Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me." Psalm 104:19, "He appointeth the moon for season, the sun knoweth his going down. Psalm 121:5, "Jehovah is thy keeper, Jehovah is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Jehovah shall preserve thee from all evil, he shall preserve thy soul." Psalm 136 verse 7, "To him that make great lights, for the mercy, his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, and his mercy endureth forever. And the moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever." And of course, here is a picture of the light of the gospel. Even the moon and the stars, which we're going to look at the stars, and I believe we've already looked at the moon in the past. If not, we will be looking at that. But I think we've already done that. And we saw how the moon represents a picture of the Word of God also. It identifies with the law. We're going to be looking at the stars tonight, and we're going to see how they identify usually with the body of believers. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but Jehovah shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. In John chapter 1, we read in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man which cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to get them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I think this is probably the clearest language in the Bible that gives us the picture of Christ being the light of the world, and identifies figuratively with the light of this world, identifies with Christ. The picture of the sun. God created the sun in this world to give forth a light. And without that light, we can see nothing. We cannot see color. We'd all be blind. And God created the world that way in order to identify himself as the light of the world, to express himself, to give us that earthly story in order that we would see that spiritual picture, that we cannot see nothing. We have no insight, no understanding of God or of heaven or of anything anything spiritually speaking, unless God gives us that earthly picture, unless he creates in such a fashion as that he can then therefore express eternity to us. In John chapter 3, we read in verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They prefer to be spiritually blind. They don't want to know the truth. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest. They are wroth in God. Now, this next word, lightning, we're going to stop there with the sun. There are many, many verses, and I just wanted to pull a few verses out to give us that clear picture that Christ is a picture of the light of the world. But there is an interesting word that identifies with the light of the world, and in the picture of lightning. Lightning is the light of the gospel, the word. A picture of the bright shining. we will see also that we see a picture of Satan coming as lightning also. And that's not a surprise to us, because he is an angel. He comes as an angel of light. He is the great deceiver. But we read in Matthew 24, verse 23, on how the Lord will come We read, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth." And this word desert, I don't think that we've actually did a part of this study, the word desert, yet, so that will be a word we'll take a look at. We have looked at the word desert, and the desert identifies with a dry place. It identifies ultimately with the church, a place where there is no gospel. So, behold, if they say he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber. Believe it not. I know we've looked at this word secret chamber before, but again, this word secret chamber identifies, it's the same word as the word closet, you know, where the Lord says to go into your closet and talk to the Lord. And ultimately, it's a picture of talking to the Lord from within ourselves, within the mind of man, within your own mind. Go into your closet. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, he is in the mind of a man. And that's really what is in view here, is the things of men and not of God. So behold, if he is in a secret chamber, believe it not. And now he tells you how he does come. "For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For where in this fashion ever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." And we know that the eagle is an unclean bird. We know the eagle identifies with the false prophets. It is a vulture. It is a bird that preys on other birds. And of course, the carcass is a picture of the dead body. And God is describing that dead body in the form of a desert and the secret chambers. In the minds of men, what goes on in the minds of men. And they're not interested in the mind of God, as we find it between the books of Genesis and Revelation. But we're to look for as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west. And that identifies with the preaching of the gospel from the body of Christ, from the heavens above, which is what is in view. And it brings forth the gospel. God identifies the body of believers as a cloud of witnesses. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Right about in the beginning of the book of Revelation. I think it's in Revelation where we find that, "Behold, he cometh with cloud." Maybe 2 Thessalonians. But anyway, in Luke, we read in chapter 11, verse 33, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick." And we've looked at this word candlestick, and it is the word chandelier, and it identifies with the corporate church. I think in our study tonight we may come up to it, that word. I think we will come up a little more with that word candlestick, so I'm not going to get too deep into it at the moment. But the candlestick identifies with the place where a light is to be set. It is a chandelier or a candlestick holder, and it identifies with the corporate church. It identifies with a high place, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. And the Bible teaches us that we are to keep our eye single and keep it on Christ, keep it on the cross. And as long as our eye is on the cross, on the Word, on Christ, then we will be full of light. We will be focused on the truth and not on the things of the world. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doeth give thee light. And so here, this bright shining of the candle is the light of the candle. It is that which gives the light, and it is the gospel. It is Christ. It is the light of the world. And it is, and this word bright shining is also the same word lightning, as we understand in the sense of thunder and lightning. And it is the light of the gospel that is in view. Now, the Lord warns us, take heed therefore, in verse 35, take heed therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. You know, the Lord tells us that in these days that they will call the light for darkness and darkness for light, and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In other words, they will have another gospel. They will reject the God of the Bible. They will deny the truth. They will deny the gospel. They would prefer the lie. You know, they're not interested in a God that has to do all the work. They want to partake themselves. They want to be the final decision maker. They don't want God to be that final decision maker. They don't want to hear about an eternal hell. To be cast into the eternal flame, a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. They don't want to hear that, and so therefore they look to the God of the Bible and call him wicked. They judge God. And here the Lord tells us, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. We need the word line upon line and precept upon precept. In Luke chapter 17, we read in verse 20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven shineth onto another part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. And this language is giving us the same kind of language we were reading in Matthew 24. It's speaking of the end of the world and the time when the lightning comes up out of the heavens, in other words, out of the body of Christ, and or behold, he cometh with clouds. That is really the picture that's in view. And that the day will come when they will not see it. They do not understand that the kingdom of God comes forth out of the body of believers. The kingdom of God is within them. You know, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, Christ within you. And if you're born again, then indeed the word of God is dwelling richly within you. And you're bringing forth that word out of the mouth. It's out of the body. It's out from, you know, out of our bellies flow rivers of living water. That living water is the gospel, the preaching of the truth. And that is the light that comes forth. And now, at the end of the world, the body of Christ is bringing the gospel, and they're not hearing it. They're not seeing it. They're not recognizing it. They're denying it. You know, the kingdom of heaven doesn't come with observation. You know, and many people are looking for something specific. They're looking for that stone building. They're looking for that that miracle, that sign. The kingdom of heaven doesn't come with observation. And those of us who are born again, we hear the voice of our Father coming out of the mouth of the prophet, the teachers, the preachers of righteousness. And we recognize that voice. In Revelation chapter 4, we read in verse 4, and around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. This fact that they're sitting here clothed in white raiment, that gives us because they're clothed in white raiment, that identifies them who these people are. This is figurative of the body of believers, these 24 elders, 2 times 12, 12 plus 12, 12 old, 12 new. You know, the 24 elders identify with the body of Christ. It is figurative of the body of Christ. And they are clothed with white raiment. They're clothed with the robes of righteousness. They're covered by the blood of the Lamb. And they're also sitting. They're ruling and reigning with Christ. It is a picture of the King of Kings. Christ being the King and we being the kings, and we are seated with him in heavenly places, the Bible tells us. And of course, those heavenly places that we are seated with him in this world is in our soul existence, where Christ is dwelling richly within us, where the Word dwells within us, and Christ is ruling and reigning in our hearts. We've received our resurrected souls, and we are seated with him there in heaven, because the kingdom of heaven is in you. So these 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. You see, there are the kings of the King, the Lord being the King of Kings. And out of the throne proceedeth lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now these lamps of fire burning before the throne is identifying with the Holy Spirit. And of course there are not seven Holy Spirits, but God, we've looked at this in the past, and we're going to look at it again hopefully once we get through all of the looking at the words of creation and seeing how God uses these words in a spiritual sense to give us the spiritual picture so that we might understand these parables that we read about in the book of Revelation and other places. And but here we have this picture of seven spirits, and again there are seven churches and there are seven spirits. Now there really isn't seven churches, and there are seven messengers, and there really isn't seven messengers. God is using that number seven in order to identify with the perfection of his work. Seven identifies with the perfection of the work of God, and with the perfection of whatever God has in view in his work in the gospel. And so his work in the church, the fact that there are seven churches, identifying in particular with the seven, with the corporate church, there are a lot more, of course, if we look at that, even denomination-wise, there's a lot more than seven churches, corporate-wise. And of course, each congregation, again, there's a lot more than seven churches. But again, figurative language of the whole, the perfection of his work within those churches, that's what's in view. And that's why God uses seven messengers and seven lamps. And these lamps identify with the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit. And again, it's the perfection of the work of the Holy Spirit in the church is what is in view. In the beginning of the book of Revelation, as it leads up to Revelation chapter 4 here. But out of his throne proceedeth lightnings and thunders. The light of the gospel is coming forth out of the throne of God. And also the thunderings and voices. And the thunderings are identifying, we're going to look at that tonight also, but the thunderings are identifying with the judgment that is coming forth out of the kingdom of heaven into the world, into the churches, and also into the world. The thunders is a picture of the voice of God through the body of believers as it brings judgment onto this world. And we'll look a little more at that again also as we get a little further into our study tonight. But so we have out of the throne proceedeth lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. In Revelation chapter 8, we read in verse 4, and here we're going to see how this identifies with some judgment here. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the messenger's hands. And the messenger took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar. And fire identifies with judgment. And cast it into the earth. And the earth we saw as a picture of the corporate church. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings and an earthquake. And this idea of the thunders is the fact that judgment has come upon the house of God, and thunder is being brought forth over the churches. But even with that thunder is also a picture of the lightnings which identifies with the light of the gospel. The gospel is still being preached through, even though the judgment is being declared, the gospel still is being preached. The light and the salt are together. And that's how God has commanded us to bring the gospel with salt. We're not to bring just the good news. We need to bring also the judgment of God along with the good news. And again, that is a message that is rejected by many and most. In Revelation chapter 11, we read in verse 18, and the nations, the word nations identifies with families. It's peoples and tongues and families. That's what the nations are. It is identifying ultimately with the congregations, the families, or the cities. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, and small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth, or the church. The corporate church is a picture. The earth is a picture of the corporate church. Shouldest destroy them that destroy the earth. You know, God speaks of them destroying the city ultimately by bringing in another gospel. Of course, it is God who destroys the city in judgment, but it is the false prophet that comes in and brings another Jesus, another gospel. And the temple of God was opened, and there was seen in the temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunders and an earthquake and great hail. Now hail is frozen water, and hail identifies with judgment. You know, what we see in the book of Revelation talks about fire and hail coming down mingled together. And again, fire is judgment, and hail is a picture of water that's been frozen. It becomes in judgment. I think hail, we may be able to build a picture, identifies with the word of God in judgment. So there were lightning and voices and an earthquake and great hail. And that comes forth again from the heavens above. There was how does God put in verse 19? The temple of God was opened in heaven. The heaven is the place where the gospel is being preached. Where is heaven? Kingdom of heaven is within you. The body of Christ bringing forth the gospel. And it was seen in the temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunders and an earthquake and great hail. And all of this is from the preaching of the judgments of God upon the church. The meat of this season is the words or the language that God gives us in the Bible, the meat of due season. In Revelation chapter 16, we read in verse 17, and the seventh angel or messenger poured out his vial into the air. And the air, we saw, is the place of conversation. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven. Hey, can anyone hear me now? I don't know. I had some kind of a problem there with Pal Talk. Am I coming through? Okay. How long have I been gone for? How long have I been gone for? Oh, I haven't. Okay. All right. Let me just pick back up where I was. Something strange happened. I got some message or something about the room. I don't know what that was all about. But anyway, let's pick back up. Let's see. Revelation chapter 11, verse 18. I think we're in. We'll just restart right there. Revelation 11, 18. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And again, the picture of those who destroy the earth is a picture of those who are bringing in another gospel. We get this kind of picture, for instance, of the grasshoppers. You know, the locust coming forth out of the bottomless pit, as you read about in Revelation chapter 9, and they come to destroy the earth, the green places, the pastures, the trees, all the green things. They've come to devour it and to destroy it, and that's the picture that God has in view here. That they destroy them which destroy the earth. And again, the earth is a picture of the corporate church. And the temple of God was opened in heaven. And heaven is the true church of God. It is the body of Christ that is in view. It is the heavens above bringing forth the rain, the latter rain, and so on. And there was seen in his temple the Ark of the Covenant, and there were lightning and voices and thunders and earthquakes and great hail. And again, these lightnings is a picture of the light of the gospel. But this is coming also with judgment, the voices of judgment, thunders and earthquakes, and great hail. And again, I mentioned that hail is a. I think we might be able to build that picture. That hail is a picture of frozen water. It identifies with judgment by the word of God. I think that's what's in view with hail. And. That's a word I think we'll look at in the future here during this study. Revelation 16:17, and the seventh messenger poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightning, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And again, this vial that is poured out into the air identifies with the place of conversation. It has become judgment upon the place of conversation, the place where the gospel should be preached. It now has been totally silenced. And I think that's what's in view here in Revelation 16. Also, this picture of "it is done," the picture of the seventh messenger is also identifying. Pouring out his vial is also identifying with the seventh trumpet. And the idea that it is done identifies with the end of the world, final judgment day itself. It is done. We read also the same kind of a picture of "it is done" in Revelation chapter 10. Let's take a look at that in Revelation chapter 10. In Revelation chapter 10, we read in verse... let's jump in verse 4. "And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices," and by the way, this is a picture of the seventh trumpet. "And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the messenger which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven." And of course, that is a picture of Christ, and he's standing. A picture of him standing upon the sea is identifying with victory over this world, and he's come to judge this world, and also his other foot is on the earth, and again he's at victory and he's bringing judgment. He lifts up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heavens and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. But this picture here, that there should be time no longer, identifies with the last day. It identifies with judgment day itself. And I think we see in the picture of "it is done" in Revelation chapter 16 is identifying with the fact that judgment has come upon the earth, and it first started in the church, and now all of this is done, and now judgment day has come. The final day. In Luke chapter 24, we read in verse 3, "And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." Now this word "shining" is the very same word as lightning. It's the same word that we're looking at, as we see as a picture of the light of the gospel. And here they have shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" And so here again, they're reflecting the gospel. They're reflecting the word of God. They have shining garments. They have the light of the gospel. Now in Luke chapter 10, and this is the very same word, lightning, that we've been looking at, and it identifies with Satan here. In Luke chapter 10, we read in verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because thy names, your names are written in heaven." And so here a picture of Satan, and God is identifying with the fact that he too appears as lightning. And he is falling from heaven. He is coming from above. He appears to be coming from above. He appears to be coming with the message of the gospel. He's got a Bible under his arm, and he's bringing a gospel. And here again is a picture of Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now this word fall is a little different word fall than the fall that we see in Christ as he falls. I think it's, what verse is that? I think that's chapter 9 of Revelation, where it talks about Christ falling from heaven onto the earth. And that fall is a falling in judgment. This fall is a fall which is a picture of defeat. Satan has fallen as lightning from heaven. So we see Satan also identifies this word lightning, and he is a picture. He brings another gospel. We see the picture in the Bible of him as an angel coming as an angel of light. Now the word thunder, whenever there is lightning, there is always thunder. Whenever there is thunder, there is always lightning. That may not necessarily be true. I'd have to look at that in nature. I remember seeing some thunderstorms where I see the lightning and not the thunder. I didn't hear the thunder, but I see the lightning in the sky. But nevertheless, thunder always comes with lightning, and lightning identifies with the gospel. Thunder identifies with the gospel also, but again it identifies with the judgment of God coming upon wherever that thunder is. We read in Exodus chapter 20 verse 17, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet. It's very interesting that God is identifying the noise of the trumpet alongside with the thunder, because the great thunder, the great judgment that comes upon the earth is pictured in the book of Revelation as trumpets. The first messenger sounds, and the second messenger sounds, and the third, and the fourth, and so on, all identifying with the trumpets. Okay, how's this now? Can anyone hear me? Testing 1, 2. Anybody hear me? Okay. All right. Some problems on Pal Talk tonight. All right, let me see where I pick up at. How long was I off for? Was I off for very long? 2 minutes, that long. Okay. Let me go back a few minutes and see. Well, we'll go right back to the word thunderings. We just started the word thunder. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. "Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house, nor shalt thou covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." And all the people saw the thunderings and lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And this is a very interesting picture, because in Revelation we read about the merchants standing afar off, and the different peoples we read about in Revelation, they're standing afar off because of the judgment that has come upon the harlot. And here is a picture of God bringing the law, and the people saw the thunders and the lightnings. They were seeing the judgment of God, and he identifies it here with the noise of the trumpet. And the trumpet is a picture, it's synonymous with thunder. Whenever we see trumpets, we see it's the same thing as looking at the word thunder. It is bringing judgment, the trumpeting, the judgment of God. Also, the word trumpet could be also trumpeting in the king that is coming, the sounding of the trumpets. But we see the picture. The people saw the thunders and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet. This is a picture of judgment. And it has given us a picture also of the end of the world and the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Now in Mark chapter 3, we read in verse 17, and James the son of Zebedee and John the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. I know I'm not pronouncing that name right, but in any event, they were called the sons of thunder. And we get a picture of this when we go into Luke chapter 9. And it's interesting here because they want to bring thunder and lightning. They want to bring lightning down from the above, and they want to destroy a village. And God corrects them. Jesus corrects them and says they don't understand, by what, how does he put it? Let's see. What manner of spirit ye are. You know, this is a picture of the beginning of the church age. God is bringing the gospel. But there is a time when the body of Christ is calling down thunder, when the sons of thunder is calling down judgment from heaven and destroying the cities by the preaching of a gospel of judgment. And I think this is a picture of what takes place with the body of Christ during the Great Tribulation here, during the end of the church age. So let's look at this. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and to consume them even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went into another village. So I think this picture of the village has given us a picture, or a little city has given us a picture of the churches throughout the church ages, throughout the church age, that, you know, occasionally a city would reject Christ, a church here or a church there would come under the judgment and would be found dead along the wayside. But God had purposed himself to come into this world to die for sinners like us. And he has set forth the church age as a time for the gospel to go forward, and not a time to bring judgment. He didn't come into the world to bring judgment, although he will bring judgment, and he will judge the world. And that comes at the end of the world, and that's where we're at the end of the world, a time when judgment indeed has come to the house of God. I don't know if anybody's hearing me anymore. Give me a one if anybody's hearing me. Okay, I guess I'm still coming through. Some people are sending me messages that they're not hearing. All right, we'll just continue. So here is this picture of these two sons, James and John, and God refers to them as the sons of thunder. And the fact that they're two, and the fact that they're brothers, and the fact that they're sons, and they're related to the sons of thunder, is all a picture, I think, of the body of Christ during the Great Tribulation, during the end of the Church Age, when God brings judgment by the preaching of the fact that the Church Age has come to an end. And I think that's what's in view here. In John chapter 12, we read in verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said, it thundered. Others said, an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying by what death he should die. So here is a picture of thunder, and God is directly relating with the fact that it is judgment. A judgment coming upon this world, judgment upon Satan, the prince of the world, and that he is to be cast out. And that's where judgment begins. And Christ became judgment, for he became judged on our behalf. It is the time of judgment. But it is also a time after this judgment upon Satan and judgment upon Christ on our behalf. It is a time of peace and a time of the gospel to go forward. But at the end of the world, the judgment would begin at the house of God, and judgment again would come. But judgment also is always in view with the gospel, and that's what's in view here. Some people, when they hear the gospel being preached, they become insulted, they become upset, because they feel like they're being judged. You know, who are you to judge me? And we're not judging anyone, they're being judged by the Word. The word that they're hearing. Where others hearing the very same sermon, the very same teaching, the very same words, find a blessing in it and find that they have been edified by it. So some hear thunder and some hear the voice of an angel or the voice of the messenger. That messenger, the voice of the messenger, is ultimately is the voice of God coming through the messenger, he being the chief messenger, coming through the body of Christ, which is also the messenger. In Revelation chapter 4, going back to chapter 4, verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And we were looking at this verse a little earlier. And again, we do see this picture of the lightnings and the thunders and the voices together. The idea that there are voices is identifying with the fact that the gospel is being preached. That's what's in view here. And the fact that it is lightnings and thunder, some are getting the light of the gospel and some are getting the judgment from the gospel. And even the light in itself can be a picture of judgment. But it also can be a picture of the blessings. And it's coming forth. Ultimately is a picture of the seven spirits, which again is a picture of the Holy Spirit, which is really the Spirit of God bringing forth this message. It is the Holy Spirit that leads us in truth and guides us in truth and in the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 19, we read in verse 5, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And the righteousness of the saints is Christ. He is our righteousness. He is our shield. He is our buckler. And that is the righteousness of the saints. It has nothing to do with our righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ. And that is what is in view here. But here is the voice of mighty thunders, Mighty Thunders is the voice. It is the voice of God. It is the preaching of the gospel coming forth out of the body of Christ. It is the voice of many waters. It is the voice of a great multitude. That's the picture of the body of believers bringing the gospel throughout all of time, which is what's in view here. Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of great multitude, and the voice of many waters. Waters is identifying with one of two things. It is either the living water or the waters of the voices of the world. And in this case, it is the living water, the voice of many waters, the voice of many bringing forth the gospel. And it is ultimately one voice. It is the voice of the mighty thunderings. It is the voice of God. And all of the preaching of the gospel continually serves as one thing, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has been made herself ready. Revelation chapter 6, we read in verse 1, And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, the noise of judgment, the voice of judgment. And one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. In Revelation, let's see, I think we looked at, Revelation 19:5. Let's look at 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, we read in verse 14, If ye will fear Jehovah and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandments of Jehovah, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following Jehovah your God. But if you will not obey the voice of Jehovah, but rebel against the commandments of Jehovah, then shall the hand of Jehovah be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing, which Jehovah will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto Jehovah, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of Jehovah in asking you of a king. Samuel called unto Jehovah, and Jehovah sent thunder and rains that day, and all the people greatly feared Jehovah and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto Jehovah thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. And of course, this is a picture of a time when the people came to Samuel to ask Samuel to talk to God about giving them a king, and of course they did eventually receive a king, and his name was Saul. God sent them, God said, who do you want? And they said, Saul. Okay, you got him. And he made him a king, and then we saw how that went. But ultimately, David was the king that was in view that God had, who represented Christ. David was a picture of Christ, and of course, Christ is our king. God is our king. But here we see the picture. He shall send thunder and rain, judgment in the gospel going forth. And why? Because they want a king. And everybody's out looking for a king, but they don't want Christ. They want another king. They want to serve a man. They want to look into other things. And that's why people flock to the churches. Churches have been constructed by men, and they have divided Christ. And Christ has warned us that we should not divide him. Is Christ divided? That's why some people, they call themselves this group or that group or another group. They have divided Christ. They have another king, and the king is not Christ. The Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared Jehovah. In Psalms chapter 77, we read in verse 17, the clouds poured out water. And the clouds is a picture of the body of believers. The water is a picture of the gospel. They poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. You know, as God speaks of arrows in the hands of a mighty man, as a picture of the children going forth to bring the gospel. And Christ is that mighty man. And he ultimately is the bow in the cloud. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Again, a picture of judgment here in Psalm 77, verse 17, identifying it being brought forth by the clouds, pouring out water. And this is a time of judgment, a time that the arrows went abroad, and the voice of thy thunders was in the heavens, and the earth trembled and shook. In Psalm 104, verse 7, at thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. You know, again, when we bring the judgment of the word of God upon them, the darkness flees from the light. They close their ears to the truth. They depart, they flee, they haste away. They leave. In Revelation 14, we read in verse 1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. And this 144,000 we've looked at and did a study in this, and we've come to the conclusion that the 144,000 is a picture of all the believers from the beginning of the world all the way to the last person being saved. And 144,000 is made up of 12 times 12 times 1,000. And 12 times 12 is 144 times 1,000, 144,000. It is a number of completeness, a number of the fullness, by the fullness of the completeness of what God has in view. And they have their father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of great thunder. And that great thunder is coming forth as the picture of judgment. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with the harps. And it's praising unto the Lord. It's a picture of praising unto the Lord. The harp with the harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song. That new song is the gospel. Before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000. No man could know the gospel but the 144,000. No man could praise the God in truth but the 144,000. No one can bring the message of judgment from God but the 144,000. And that's how come we know that the 144,000 must represent the body of believers. Let's see. No man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And that's the body of believers. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another messenger flying through the midst of heaven. This is a picture of the Holy Spirit moving through the body of Christ in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindreds and tongues and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. In other words, the commandment is to worship the Creator, and the commandment is to fear God. You know, there are many gospels out there, God loves you, Jesus loves you, but they don't talk about the fear of God and why we should fear God. We should fear God because we're sinners. And we're heading to hell, and well deserving of it, but by the grace of God can we escape such a thing. fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And that is the message that the body of Christ is bringing today. The hour of His judgment has come. And the hour, we saw on many studies in the past, is a picture of the great tribulation, the time of tribulation. The hour of judgment that is in view is the judgment coming upon the church. They prefer the lie. God sends them strong delusion. God speaks of this time as the great apostasia, the turning away from the truth, the time when we see the abomination of desolation as spoken by the prophet Daniel. All right, we're going to look at one more word. The last word is stars. Maybe spend another 5 or 10 minutes looking at stars. We look tonight at the sun, which is in the heavens, and we looked at the lightnings and the thunders, which is in the clouds and up in the heavens, and here are the stars up in the heavens. And the stars is a picture of the body of Christ shining the light of the Word, but it also identifies with false prophets. There are wandering stars that God gives us pictures of also. We read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the messengers of the seven churches." And the messengers to the seven churches, which is in view right here, is a picture of the body of Christ that He sends forth to bring the gospel into the seven churches, into the corporate body. And the seven candlesticks, which is the candlestick, is again, we've looked at this earlier, it's a picture of a candlestick holder. It's a picture of a chandelier, something that holds the candle. And the candlesticks, or the chandeliers, or the candlestick holders which thou sawest, are the seven churches, or the perfection of the work that God has in view in the corporate churches. And we read in Revelation chapter 2, verse 28, as Christ being a star, we read, "And I will give him the morning star." The morning star is a picture of Christ. The morning star rises in our hearts. The day star arises in our hearts. In Jude, we read of wandering stars. In Jude chapter 1, verse 13, he speaks of the raging waves of the sea. The sea is a picture of the world foaming out their own shame, and then identifies them as wandering stars. They appear to be some kind of a light. They appear to be bringing some kind of a gospel, but they are darkness. They are wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And here, clearly God is speaking of stars as being reserved for the blackness and darkness forever, as a picture of the false prophets, those bringing another gospel. In Revelation chapter 12, we see the parable of the picture of the dragon with his tail in verse 4, "And his tail drew forth a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to deliver her child as soon as it was born." Now, I've pondered over this particular picture of stars, and at first I thought it was the believers, and then I went back, well, maybe it's a picture of the corporate church, those who are bringing another gospel, and I think that is the case. And the reason why, we have this picture of the dragon drawing a third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. But he draws them with his tail. Hold on a minute. He draws them with his tail. And we get this picture of something else taking place with the tail in Revelation chapter 9, where it talks about the tail of a scorpion. So for that reason, I kind of think that the picture of these stars might be a picture of the corporate body, the lost. But in any event, maybe we'll do a study on that one day. Revelation 12, verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." And this day star arising in our hearts is a picture of Christ, the light of the gospel. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, we read, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look toward, now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. We will be as the stars of heaven. You know, there is another place, I don't have this verse in front of me, where God speaks about naming the stars. And he's not talking about these suns out there in the universes, which is what stars are. There's suns in other universes or galaxies or whatever, you know, however that might be described. But he's not talking about naming those stars. He's talking about naming those who are bringing the light of his gospel, the stars of the heavens above, identifying with the body of Christ, bringing the gospel. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. We see the picture of the 11 stars worshiping Joseph in Genesis 37, and of course Joseph is a picture of Christ, and these 11 stars is identifying with the body of believers, and Joseph representing the 12th to bring us to the fullness of what God has in view, which is the fullness of the body of Christ. We read about the star out of Jacob in Numbers chapter 24. And there shall come a star out of Jacob. And that star coming up out of Jacob is a picture of Christ. Jacob his name was changed to Israel. He identifies with Christ. He also identifies with the body of believers. We are the children of Israel. We are the holy city. We are Jerusalem above. We are Israel, the land of Israel. The land of Israel being the land of Christ, the body of Christ. Here it is, Psalm 147, verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them by their names. So he names the stars, and it is identifying with believers. In Isaiah 14, verse 12, we read concerning Satan, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weakest the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heavens, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And exalting his throne above the stars of God is a picture of the fact that he is going to be worshipped as God, and he is going to set his throne above the body of believers in the churches. And that, of course, is what's happening these days. He exalts his throne above the stars of heaven, the stars of God. And we read, and this is not a surprise to us, because God tells us in Revelations that he would overtake us, that Satan would overtake the saints. He tells us that the two witnesses will be killed, and the dead body, which is the corporate church, would be found lying in the street, spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. Sodom identifying with the harlot, the church as a harlot, and Egypt identifying with the world. Sodom and Egypt. In Daniel chapter 8, verse 9, and out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great towards the south and towards the east and towards the pleasant land. The pleasant land is identifying with the place where the gospel is being preached. The pleasant land is the land of Israel. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away. And that daily sacrifice is actually the continual. The continual was taken away. The continual is identifying with Christ. It is identifying with the Word of God. It was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And that is this is the picture of the abomination of desolation, as spoken by the prophet Daniel. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, we read, "And they shall be wise, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." One more verse, and then we'll end it. Maybe we'll just end it there in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. God speaks about turning many to righteousness, and as the stars forever and ever. And of course, the stars again give light, and the light that they're giving is the light of the gospel. And of course, when the sun comes into the sky, the stars are still up there. You just can't see them anymore because the light, the true light of the world, it just overtakes all the stars in the heavens. And of course, the stars in heaven, of course, is a picture of bringing the gospel, the light of the world. All right, I'm going to end it there. I know we had some problems tonight back and forth, and hopefully we got the whole study in, but if anybody has any questions or comments or any corrections or anything they might want to correct or share, feel free to raise your hand or pick up the mic.